I don't know about you guys, but I was really, I was have I feel like I'm full from what you guys shared, and just this for this reason, and this ties in so great with what with part of what I was going to share today anyway. So I'm just going to share that part today, and we'll there's more time next week to go into the whole thing, but the reason I feel like I was very affected or very impressed by some of the things that were shared today is that there is so much need and there is so much experience that needs spoken to. So we have experiences, right, in our lives. Some are good, some are bad. And so many of those experiences that we carry with us need spoken to by God. God needs to speak to those experiences. You know, they talk about being in with kids from war-torn places or children of missionaries or young adults or whatever. Old adults. I wasn't pointing at you, Jim. It's okay. I love you, buddy. We all have things that need spoken to by God. And God wants to use all of us to speak to one another's experiences, our parts of our lives that need spoken to. And how will he do that? We're going to read about that today. But before we do, let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you for we thank you for showing us the way, and we thank you for being the way. We thank you for your word. We thank you that you go in front of everything that we experience. You're there, and you're ready to meet with us, and you're ready to speak to our hearts. Lord, I ask this morning that you would do just that, that you would speak to our hearts, that you would show us how it is that we can respond to your call, how it is that we can engage lives around us that need, that you want to speak to, and how you can use us. And so, Lord, I ask that you would go before this here now. Pray that you'd smooth my wrinkles this morning, and just pray that your spirit would speak to your church today. In your name, Jesus. Amen. I was planning on reading the whole chapter of 1 Corinthians chapter 2 today, but we're just going to read the first part. I'm going to start there in verse 1, and I'll stop somewhere along the line. But right there in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, it says, "And I," this is Paul speaking, "when I came to you, brothers, did not come proclaiming to you the testimony of God with lofty speech or wisdom. For I decided to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and much trembling. And my speech and my message were not in plausible words of wisdom, but in a demonstration of the Spirit and of power, so that your faith might not rest in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Yet among the mature we do impart wisdom, although it is not a wisdom of this age or the rulers of this age, who are doomed to pass away. But we impart a secret and hidden wisdom of God, which God decreed before the ages for our glory. None of the rulers of this age understood this, for if they had, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, no eye has seen, what no eye has seen, nor ear heard, nor the heart of man imagined, what God has prepared for those who love him. These things God has revealed to us through the Spirit, for the Spirit searches everything, even the depths of God." We'll just stop there. Paul, when he arrived with the people there at Corinth, it says that he didn't come with to them with big arguments or with wise words or a polished message, but he came with a demonstration of the Spirit and of power. He came with good wisdom, good discerning wisdom, and he spoke to the things that needed spoken to. It says there that he came in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And I don't know, the economy of the day, of course, was speeches, right? These guys that would come in, we talked about it at the beginning of our study. These people would come in and they would have all the answers, you know, and they'd charge people tickets to come listen to them. talk about, you know, how they can elevate themselves, and with eloquent speeches and the much pomp and circumstance you can imagine. That's not how Paul says he came. He says he came with utter humility, with weakness. He came with weakness. He came with fear and with much trembling, and yet changed so much. Changed so much. I'm not going to talk long today. I hope you weren't expecting a big, long speech, but I wanted to just share how it is that we can bring our lives to others and God through us to make a big difference, even if it's weak and with trembling and with humility. This morning, my little son Magnus taught me a lesson. It was right before church, too. And so I'm, you know, Tim, we talked about throwing out the notes last week. Yeah, the notes are, they're gone. They're gone. So we're going to have to, we're doing this on the fly. But our friends here mention Jesus and the little children. And he said, you got to let them come because this is the type of person that the kingdom is going to belong to. And Magnus maybe taught me more about this passage this morning than I'll be able to convey to you, but I'm going to try my best. So I was, you know, filling out my outline this morning and kind of getting everything pulled together to offer this morning. And here he comes marching in. He comes marching into my office. If you know him, you know what I mean when I say marching. He's just, he's got a vision. He knows where he's going. So he comes marching into my office, and he's pointing all around. And he's super excited about what he's seeing. And every little thing he sees, he comes over and he talks about the corner of the chair that's torn, and then he goes over and then he sees, he looks, points out the window, and then he goes over to the table and has something to say about that. I ask you a question that I know you'll know the answer to. Did I understand a word he said? No. Because it sounded like, but he was all about it. And I thought, man, there it is. He doesn't have eloquent words. He doesn't even have words. Unless it's some kind of tongue thing happening. But I guess we'll leave that lay. What I knew is, he was excited about something. He was all about it. Really excited. Bright-eyed. Telling me all about it. I think, church, that it's the same when we carry our faith to others. We don't need to necessarily have all the right words. We don't need to have all of the polished presentations or even the assessments, not to short-circuit what you guys are doing. We don't need to have all that stuff to speak God's voice into another person's life. We just need to bring what he's done for us. We oftentimes talk about, you know, doing missions or having some, as we, you know, build the kingdom and share our faith, that we talk of these great sacrifices that we may or may not be willing to make for the kingdom, but it's the littlest things in our lives that God has done that we often refuse to lay down. The little ways that he's met us, the little changes that he's made in our hearts. Are we willing to offer that for his kingdom? You know, it doesn't matter how great or how small it is. Has he done something in your life ever? If you think about it, you know, that's a good question. What's God done in my life? Hopefully, the list is rolling in your mind, you know, ways that God has met you or changed you or done miracles in your life. Maybe not, though. Maybe some days it's hard for everybody, I think, to think, okay, well, where is he? Where's God? Two things I know. One, if you're having trouble finding those areas where he's met you, finding those areas where he's changed you or touched you, ask him too, and he will. He's so faithful to meet us where we're at, if we seek him earnestly. But the second thing I know is that no matter how big or how small those things, places where you've met God are, whether it was some kind of life, you know, like 180 degrees, I was, you know, I mean, you all hear the stories, right? I was a Chicago gang drug murderer, you know, guy, and God got a hold of my life, and now he's a pastor. You know, you've heard those big 180 stories. Maybe you have a story like that. Maybe you don't. Maybe you got saved when you were 5 years old at Bible school and have just tried your best. But even if that's your case, like for me, I grew up in church. I cannot remember a time when I was not a Christian or didn't know about Jesus. But yet I know, oh, I know what kind of a monster I could be and still am sometimes, to be honest with you, right? You know what lives in there. Inside of you, those desires, those thoughts that God is saving you from every day, right? So what if we laid that down and were willing to be as excited about the way that God has helped us in those ways, just as excited as Magnus was about the sunshine and the tear in the chair and the, yeah, you know what I'm saying? Are you willing to offer what he's done in your life to others? Boy, I tell you what, friend, you know, I'm talking to my friend, you know, I deal with, again, I'm off the script, I'm off the notes here. There are people that we all talk to, engage with on a daily basis. Are you willing to offer those things that God has done in your life to your friends, your family, the people that you work with? Because if you are, guess what will happen? If you come and you lay your life down humbly and offer what God has done in your life, however big or small, that opens the way for the Spirit to come in a demonstration of power in your life, through your life, without big arguments, without, you know, a church of your own, a pulpit of your own or whatever, but to speak through you to others. Kind of a stumbling block, isn't it? Paul talks about it. What we preach is a stumbling block because people think, no, you have to come with the big things. You have to come with the program. You have to come with the elaborate teachings. Nope. All you have to do is come with you, the way that God has met you, where you've met him, what he's done for you, what he's doing for you. If you're willing to offer that with even with fear and weakness and even with much trembling, God will use that to unlock this deep wisdom from the Spirit to others around you. That is true. If we can learn this, to share the joy of God like a child, then he will work through us, church. That's true. We're going to explore that more. Let's get ready to have communion. I'll have the elders make their way up here, and we're going to get ready to just celebrate the fact of that God is here. He has changed us. He has met us. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you so much for your ability to use us to build your kingdom. We thank you for meeting us, calling us, changing us, for guarding our hearts for yourself and from keeping us from self-destruction and from eternal destruction. And Lord, I ask today just humbly that you would teach us how to use the small things and the big things alike to bring joy and to bring hope to those in this dark world that we live with. So, Lord, I pray that you clear out the obstacles and teach us how to be humble and how to be obedient. In your name, Jesus.